Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
We're going to talk with you a little bit and see where the Lord would allow us to go. And you say, well, what are you saying, brother? You might not be in a place. No, I'm in a place. Amen. I tell you, there's beautiful, wonderful things. And I want you to turn to the very first book in the Bible. And this isn't where I'm going to expound on, but we're talking about laying a little bit possibly of a foundation of thought here. And maybe the Lord will let us minister tonight. Amen. Genesis, the first chapter. We're going to begin there at the very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And gathered together the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. You know, I find dealing with people as a preacher, talking with people from many different kinds of walks of life. You know, a lot of times we differentiate people. Some might differentiate black churches and white churches. Some might differentiate Pentecostal churches and non-Pentecostal churches. And some might differentiate between the Catholics and the Protestants. And there's so many differentiations out there. You know, we find ourselves segregating, you know, and different things. And Lord has allowed this, and the Lord has suffered this. We find that there are even people that would consider themselves being of the same. We could say Christians or whatever, but we find so many different kind of understandings with them. As we read this evening, this passage of scriptures, the average mind and the average thought, and it would be accurate, and the average theologian, average Christian, the average teacher, the average rabbi would say this is the creation of the world, you know, this world out here. And they would see that as that creation, and they would be very accurate. But then yet a man of God in the mind of revelation and understanding things in the mind of Christ and understanding the mysteries and the mysteries of godliness and being a steward of the mysteries, he might be looking at this and reading this in a whole different perspective, a whole different dimension, a whole different understanding, and a whole different mind. Now, the thing is we do a lot of comparisons. We talk about the earth, and we talk about this being the earthen vessel. I've spoke so many times, and even the little tract that we've wrote and put back here, and even in the book, I differentiate between the water, the blood, and the spirit. In the water, there's a water seed, a blood seed, and a spirit seed, and we've spoke about this. Now, there are some here that maybe wouldn't have this understanding, and we'll take some time to speak about this. Sometimes the preacher leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Many times you think that's the preacher leaving the congregation. He's going off out here, you know, maybe across town to find somebody or something, but many times it's leaving him right here going after one that's with you. Are you understanding me? Amen. So just bear with me. When we speak about these things, and it should, like, you know, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He did go on to say, he said, I find you still yet carnal. He said, you should be teaching these things by now. So I can say that to all of you, that you should be teaching these things. But now when we think of this water seed, I've got fruit trees growing out here across the property. So I say I, the brotherhood here, and they have fruit trees out here. And these fruit trees are relative to the water world and the water seed. They need water. Do you realize that if you cut the water off of these fruit trees out here, these fruit trees would perish and go away? They're relative to that. And now these trees out here are going to reproduce after their kind. You understand that? And when I go out there and pull fruit off of my peach tree or whatever, I'm going to expect to get a peach or an apple or so be it. But it's relative to that water dimension and that water world. I remember a man was over in Washington for Jesus, and Brother Pike had sent a group of men up there. And in some way was got into a discussion, and, you know, with an individual, he said, well, there's no difference between, you know, the natural and the physical. Some theologians say there's no difference between the soul and the spirit. Well, if that was the case, then why don't we just do away with one of them in the word? But we do know that there is a difference between the soul and the spirit. We differentiate and teach. There's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and we differentiate and teach that. Yes, it's one and the same. You know, the Bible teaches only one baptism, but then yet we teach three. You know, but we teach there's only one God, but then yet we teach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Now see, we've got to come to a mind of understanding to understand this, for we don't sound like we're talking out both sides of our mouth. Amen. And we find again, as we're talking about segregations and different kind of things, you know, we got the people that call themselves Trinitarians. You know, they've got some accuracy and some truths of God's Word. They're accurate in many things, and there's some error in some of their doctrines and teachings. And then we have others that call themselves oneness, and they're accurate and correct in many things, and they've got some errors also. So, you know, we have to learn to look at things and understand, you know, where these differences are and comprehend them. We find ourselves separating ourselves from people, and we don't know why. It's maybe because someone said, well, these people aren't right. You know, there's many people that don't think I'm right. Amen. But if they would come to mind of revelation and mind of understanding. I've had people walk out of this church thinking, man, this guy's off in left field. You know, I like left field. Amen. You know, there's a lot of nice things over there in left field. Amen. I guess, well, I don't know where that expression came from, but whatever it is. So what I'm talking about is differentiating things of understanding and minds and thoughts. So the man said that he didn't believe that there was no difference between natural and physical. So I think if I look out here and I got a natural fruit tree out here growing out here relative to the water world, and I go over in the physical realm, and you know, the Lord Jesus, they prayed for a man that he couldn't see. And they asked him after prayed for him, he says, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. You know, he received sight. Are you with me? He received sight. God didn't, you know, mess up the first time. There's so many preachers that think, well, the Lord really, you know, had to pray for him again. You know, when the Lord Jesus was going down there to raise Lazarus, you know, he went down there and they said, oh no, you know, you're saying that he's asleep. The Lord knew what he was talking about, but they kept pressing him, said, oh no, you know, he's been in there 4 days, stinks by now. So he said, okay, so be it. Okay, to your understanding, he's dead. Was he wrong the first time? Was he wrong the first time when he prayed for this man and he got and he saw men as trees walking? The man received sight. He was looking at things in the spiritual. He was seeing something in the spiritual realm. You see, there's a difference between a natural tree and a physical tree. The Bible says we're supposed to have fruit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, amen, hanging on a physical tree. So we see men as trees walking. You have this right here, you call the trunk, and you got the limbs. So is there a difference in between a natural tree? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we talk about the tree of life. What are you going to see when you see the tree of life? Are you going to see a fruit tree hanging in the garden? Are you going to see a fruit tree in the midst of the garden? How are you going to see it? So we're trying to differentiate understanding here, to understand and comprehend. And there's many times people are disagreeing and chiding with people. It's because they don't have their dimensional projections in order. And there's people that have raised up in revelational truths or doctrines and said under pastors and ministers, maybe some under Brother George Pike, maybe some under this Brother William Branham or whatever, and we find that there's differences and disputes and things. And many times when they're disputing, they're both accurate. And where they can't come together is they're not looking at it from the proper dimension. Amen. Many of Brother William Branham's people, they believe that he was speaking about the third heaven when he found himself caught away or went beyond the veil. You see, and if they would come to the revelation that the Lord brought him into the millennium, it would explain a lot of differences between Brother George and Brother William Branham. Now, you think, well, what are you? Who are you with? I'm with Jesus. Those were both men of God. Am I going to put these two men in some sort of a competition against each other? They're both men of God. They both were used of God, and they both saw things that God allowed them to see, and they spoke about those things. They weren't in disagreement with one another. They were looking at things. One was looking at the millennium, the restored earth, and another one was looking into the third heaven and went through the door. Do you realize there's a door to both of them? You might ask, you say, well, why did you read over here in Genesis? Because we're speaking here to look at this as a understanding that while you're reading this and thinking that you're speaking of the creation of the earth out here, this was the creation of man. Do you realize that Brother Rob was form and void and darkness was upon the face of my deep, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, moved over me? You understand that? And said, let there be light. Do you know what light is? Light is understanding. And you know what this understanding does? It reproduces after its kind. You understand that? And when you receive the light of understanding, the light of revelation, the light of things, then you become a product of that light. Just using some terminology to help you understand. You become one with that light. You become a child of light. You understand that? You become one with the light. Amen. Light eradicates darkness. We find that when he come in and started speaking and we're thinking of this earth and it spoke about the firmament. You see, there is a differentiation between body, soul, and spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now these are things that we differentiate in understanding. Now the thing is when I start speaking to you by the mind of Christ and the mind of the Spirit and by the revelation of the Lord, you see, people draw back from you. They think, wait a minute, I can't receive this. I remember when Brother Pike passed away, there was some mockers that come along, and two of his brethren, they came to me, and they said, you know why they put him right out here by 78 Highway over here? For all the people, because it wasn't too long after he passed away, they had the Olympics in Atlanta. And they said, all these, for hundreds of thousands of people, come by here and mock him, because he said he wouldn't die. He didn't die. The Lord Jesus knew what he was speaking about when he spoke about Lazarus. He wasn't dead. Sons of God can't die. But you see, people will look at a situation like, well, you can't tell me that man's not dead. No, I could tell you that you're dead. And you might stand before me and I could have your breath breathing in my face. And I could put a scope on you and I could hear your heart banging. You understand that? And I could hear the vibration utterances coming forth out of your mouth and I could look at you and say, you're dead. And I could go on to say, you're twice dead. And you're plucked up by the roots. You know, and this man would walk up and you say, there's one that's dead. And you look at one out there under so many feet of dirt. And you look at one of such. And you say, no, it's not dead. He's asleep. You see, God's ways aren't your ways. God's mind isn't your mind. God's thoughts isn't your thoughts. So we find that in trying to go into the things of God and the mind of God and the things that the Lord would have us to be in, we find, as the little brother come up and testifies, you know, talking about a warfare. His grandfather was the one that really guarded over his brethren. He didn't like them out reading books. He didn't like to get reports about them reading books or going off to revival meetings and all these kind of things. Because there's other minds that are going forth. There's other thoughts that are going forth. And it causes and breeds a lot of confusion. Where's confusion of? And who's it of? You know, they teach you in the Christian realms, you know, that, well, if preachers do that or a cult, you need to stay away from them. Hey, let me tell you, I've got a wife, a wonderful wife, a virtuous wife. I don't want her off fellowshipping other men. I don't want her on the telephones with other men, communicating with them and doing a bunch of things and coming into some other man's mind. I'm the same way as a pastor. I've got a congregation of people. They don't need to be over here in some other pastor's mind and in his thoughts. Now, I know we get together and meetings as such, and Brother Jesse's had me minister to church. I have a minister over here, Brother Michael. I believe that Brother Jesse guards over his sacred desk the same way I do. The thing is when I got a woman in my church that's married to a man, I may be the pastor, but there is some differentiating lines of what I can do. There's some defining lines there of what I can do as a pastor. And the things I need to do is work through the headship of her husband through the man. If the man's in rebellion against God, there's still some defining lines. I got to be very cautious how I deal with that. You see, we're talking about differentiation of things, of understanding. You know, when we start talking about reproduction and reproducing and different kind of things. We talk about the tree out here in the yard and a water seed that goes in this ground. And we think about this seed bringing forth fruit. We go into the next dimension, blood realm. Again, these are simplistic things, but there's a blood seed that lays within a man. And this blood seed leaves the loins of a man, goes into the womb of the woman. This seed reproduces. It's blood life. And this seed brings forth after its kind. We could say a man-child. Now we go into the scriptures and the word. I could take you over there, but the Bible talks about a seed that remaineth within you that keepeth you from sin. That has nothing to do with that blood seed. It isn't a blood seed that keepeth you from sin. So we start differentiating the water world, the blood world, and the spirit world. We differentiate the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There's so many people that are so confused. We got some saying, well, Jesus only. I like what Brother Pike said. They ask him a question, they said, are you Jesus only? And he looked at him and smiled and he said, no, I'm only Jesus's. I'm only Jesus's, amen. So you say, well, you don't believe in Jesus only, Brother Rob. Well, the thing is, brother, I could say it like this, that when he was speaking and praying to the Father, it would be kind of hard to say Jesus only, wouldn't it? Is that right? So we know we have a Father and a Word and a Holy Ghost. Now, I told you I could differentiate the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. But then yet, I'll turn around and tell you it's all one and the same Spirit. Now, many of your Trinitarian people will go and they talk about a three-person God. I'm not going to spend much time there, but they'll talk to you about a three-person God. And they'll say, well, you know, I believe that God is three-person. But they say one is because it's just like when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh, the Bible says. So, you know, that's the explanation they'll use. Well, it's the same way. You know, you got a wife, one person here, and you're the husband, one person. And Paul said, I show you a mystery, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Do you understand that mystery? I do. Does that vindicate their Trinitarian doctrine of a three-person God? No, it doesn't. You see, this is where people get their dimensional projections and they get things out of order. You see, I'm married to a woman. Now, why did it say one in the flesh? Why didn't it say one in the spirit? It said one in the flesh. One in the flesh. Paul was saying, I'll show you a mystery. You know, there's so many things that I'd have to take much time to lay some foundation to bring some of these things out. I made some statements in this church the other day, and I said them purposely to rattle some folks to make them think. I said, listen, sisters. I said, if you're barren and you can't bring forth a child, you're going to hell. And I said, now look, you're hearing it here from the sacred desk in Christian Temple Church. If you are a woman and you're barren and don't bring forth a child, you're going to hell. And you say, Brother Rob, that's false doctrine. It is? Well, maybe I ought to let you come up here and preach in. You said, Brother Rob, you don't really believe it. No, I really do believe that. But now you got to figure out what dimension I'm speaking in. Now, do you think I'm speaking about in the dimension that I'm looking at with my eyes? Do you think I'm talking about if this brother over here marries a little young lady and the little young lady's got a complication in her womb's got a problem, or maybe the little brother's got a problem and they can't bring forth a child? Do you think I'm going to put those two in hell? No, not at all. You see, we got to make sure we're listening. And see, there's so many times people think that you're saying something and they will leave your presence and leave your work and they'll go say, man, I heard it with my own ears. This is what the man said, but they never heard a word that you did say. They never heard a word you said. You see, what dimension am I supposed to be speaking to you in? Do you want me to speak to you within the realms of physical life? Do you want me to talk to you as a man, oh wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Do you want me to talk to you just in those realms, or do you want me to talk to you by the Spirit? This is what Paul desired to do, is talk to you by the Spirit, about spiritual things and speaking in the Spirit. The Bible says that the woman is saved in childbearing. So I've got scripture for what I said, don't I? So if the woman's not bearing children, is she not saved? You say, well, I don't know, you might be reading in a little bit too much there. And I'll make it brief, but I'll say this, that when Eve, being in the transgression, not Adam, the Lord could have said, you know what, this woman has really messed up. I'll tell you what, it's the woman. We got the problem, brethren, so if you think I'm going to just hammer down on the women here, we got the problem. We're always passing the buck too. It's that woman you gave me. It would have been real simple, wouldn't it? The Lord could have just said, okay, Eve, she messed up. She gave ear over to this serpent. She yielded to this serpent. She partook. I know a lot of you know that, you know, mankind's doomed to hell because woman ate an apple in the garden. Well, I tell you, man, you're a rough God. I mean to tell you, you know, Lord, you know, my kid ate an apple one time when I told him to leave him alone on the table. I'm not going to put him in hell. Well, I tell you, well, it wasn't the act of eating apples, the act of disobedience, you might say. We can go there if you like. But the Lord could have solved the problem and eliminated the woman, but he would have had another problem, correct? Adam couldn't reproduce his image, is that correct? He could not reproduce. So the woman being saved there in childbearing, correct? Can you see that? So then God repented that he made man, is this correct? He repented that he made you. He was probably looking down through portals of time and saw me and he thought, oh God, what kind of mess have I made here? But God repented that he made man. But you see, if he would have removed man, then there would have been a problem. He couldn't reproduce his image. Because man, as you're looking at man, is what you see. The Lord's looking in another dimension. You know, we say that the Lord's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So you say, man, I'm the bride of Christ. So if you don't know how to differentiate things, you're going to have a real problem. Now, I know we live in a weird old day and hour, you know, and we got men that's been worked on and operated on and twisted on and transvestited on or whatever you call it, and they some weirdos. Now, when I stand up here and tell you I'm the bride of Christ, I'm not one of them weirdos. You understand what I'm saying? But you see, without you differentiating, if I'm standing here before you and telling you that I'm the bride of Christ and you look at me as a man and I've got a wife, you see, you can't go into some kind of a perverted thought. So you say, well, you know, we understand spiritual things, Brother Rom. Well, if there's no male nor female in the spirit and I'm saying that I'm the bride, then how are you going to have a bride showing feminine or woman in the spiritual realm? So am I the bride in the spiritual realm? It can't be. And you see, this is where, again, and people start crossing up. I've had people that came up under maybe the same pastor you did and dispute that. And have challenged me on this on more than one occasion. But the Lord Jesus himself went to him, went with the scriptures, said, you're lacking understanding. Just paraphrasing a little bit. You know, there's no marriage and given in marriage there. There's no male nor female there. So then, where do we find ourselves being the bride at? Where is this bride? Who is this bride? What is this bride? Could this bride be what was saved in childbearing? First childbearing? So now we're stepping into a second dimension. We got a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. So I stand before you and I say, you know, the Lord says he's coming for his bride. You know, we start differentiating things. You know, and the Bible said that we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible says we're a wild tree by nature, been grafted in. Well, were you grafted in or were you translated? The Bible said that we've been born again and born into this kingdom. Amen. And then the Bible also says that we've been adopted. Were you adopted or were you born? Which one are you, brother? Which one are you, friend? I understand it and I know where to apply these things at. I know where to apply the bride at and I know where to apply the sonship, the Son of God. You say, well, I think you think too highly of yourself. Well, sorry. I'm just telling you, I understand it by the grace of God. I understand it by the grace of God. You know, the Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned, and some people want to try to understand these things with an intellectual application. And they read and they study and they listen, and then they read and they study and they listen, and they read and study and listen some more, and read and study and listen some more. They fast and sometimes they pray, and I'm all for that. That's wonderful. But the Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. I remember doing some teaching on a subject. And I mean, I hid it from the north, I hid it from the south, I came in from the east, and I come over from the west. I turned it upside down, I flipped it inside out, upside down, right side up. I mean, we looked at this thing every way you could look at it. And I thought, man, I know for sure, man, I've taught this thing, and we've talked about it, we discussed it, we looked at it, we differentiated, we tore it apart, we put it together. And I said, man, I know for sure these brethren got this thing down now. So, you know, months later, I'm preaching, and I kind of springboard back on this particular subject and just said just a little nothing about it, just to bring a thought. Well, y'all remember this? And I brought the thought, and a guy comes up to me after church and said, man, Brother Rob, you said this today, man, and it opened up my understanding, and this is what I saw. And I thought, I looked at him like, what? I mean, I didn't even scratch it. It would be like if I taught you the alphabet A through Z, and I just mentioned C one time, you said, I see the whole alphabet now, I think. Wow. But that's the way the Lord works. I remember Brother George, and many times I'd hear some of the questions asked and I'd watch the way he'd answer it. And I would listen. And it seemed like he answered it in a veil. And I always wondered why sometimes things were answered in a veil. I understand now. I find myself doing it often. Let me talk about you for a moment. You might have a little child. And your little child might be 4 years old. And you might be expecting another child, and the little child comes up and says, we're going to have a little brother, a little sister? Well, tell me about that. And I'm sure you're going to go into just the full-blown teaching to this little child where the whole marriage relationship and going into the revelation and all this kind of stuff. I don't think so. They're going to veil it and bring them and say, well, Lord bless mama's womb. Amen. And you're going to take it into that child's understanding. Now, the same way when we get into the things of God, sometimes things have got to be veiled. Brother Pike, he made a statement one day. He said, man, my lights are too bright. And he said, sometimes, you know, we try to dim the lights a little bit for we can dim things down. But he said, you know, sometimes it's very difficult, especially when you want to speak. I listened to Brother McKinney when he was here the other night. He said, you know, I got men in my church, you know, they say, oh, I want meat, I want meat, I want meat. But he said he's got a lot of little children in there, a lot of young people coming in. And they need some things that are more simplistic. You know, what's more important to God? You know, we got to look at things and understand where people are at. Let's go on of a differentiated thought here for a moment. Now, we read the scriptures here, and if the Lord's going to allow me, I'm going to take you over the book of Revelations, but I'm not sure we're going to get there. But I read to you here in Genesis, hoping to use it as a little bit of a foundation differentiating between the earth and the earthen vessel. Very simple. So we start looking at things and we're seeing that this light was spoken and this understanding comes and brings us out of darkness and brings us to light. And we start differentiating between these firmaments, between the body and the soul and the spirit. Now the thing is when I stand before you and I say I'm the bride of Christ. Now if the woman is saved in childbearing and I stand here before you and say that I'm the bride, is that what the Lord was looking for? You say, was he looking for the bride? But the Bible teaches us very clearly that the child or the offspring is the heir to the throne. Is this right? Are y'all with me? Now, if we go into the Old Testament, we look at the Old Testament, we start looking at shadows. We find the things in the Old Testament being a shadow. We come over to the New Testament and we find it is an object. Jesus, the object of worship, he comes over there. And then we go over in the book of Revelation, we find light. Now we find light when it goes across an object, it makes a shadow. Pretty simple, isn't that? Okay, the Old Testament we look at is in his shadows. And we can start seeing the Lord Jesus Christ coming through the Old Testament. And we could see this taking place. We could find that these women that were being prepared and went through the ritualistics and the cleansing and things sometimes for a year before they was able to go into the marriage chamber, we could say, with the king. And there was these things that took place. Now, the woman, if she was barren, they would go into many stories in the Old Testament and they would come before the Lord and come before the prophets of God. They would present themselves to him and they're asking these prophets and praying to the Lord and saying, you know, open up my womb, because they knew they had no inheritance if they did not have their womb opened up. Well, you see, those are shadows. It's no different today. There are people that their womb is closed up. There's many people that go to church and the rain comes on the just and the unjust. Do you realize what the difference is between just and unjust? You know, they look the same in many times. Many times they even dress the same. You know, I know we're holiness people and understand holiness doctrine, but you know, there's sometimes unjust that dress like just. You know, sometimes we talk about different kind of scriptures and we think of wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, and there's things that look familiar. The Bible says familiar spirits, similar spirits. The Bible talks about ministers of Satan that transform themselves into ministers of light. Do you realize how many people are sitting under ministers of Satan and they think that they're sitting under men of God? There's a lot of deception in our day and hour. There's so many people with this electronic day and hour that we're in, and there's so much information, and people are, you've got the God of Google. Google is a God. There was an article sent to me, I think, Brother Pete, is that correct? Did you send that to me? He sent me an article. I made a statement about that, and he sends me an article about it. And it said that the Google people are boasting that they're more popular than the Lord Jesus Christ. That was wrong. That's not a good idea. Not a good idea. It is a God, though. It is a God. I remember Brother Pike speaking one time, and he said, you know what's funny? Sometimes people think they read something, and now they know. Well, I got it now. I read about it. I studied it out. I know. But the Bible says you think that you know when you don't know what you ought to know. You just think you know, but you don't know really what you ought to know. Sometimes you could hear me speak and you think you know what I'm saying, but you really don't know what I'm saying because you're not even in the same dimension that I'm in when I'm speaking it. And you have to learn to differentiate the dimension. Brother George had a brother named Brother Grady Pike. Some of you remember him, some of you knew him. He had a vision. Brother Grady went to Brother George with this vision he had. And he said, you know, I was running, trying to keep up with you. And we went up a flight of stairs. We ran across this floor and we went down a flight of stairs. Then we went down another flight of stairs. We went back up a flight of stairs. And we went back up another flight and came back down. And he was struggling. He said, man, I was running as hard as I could trying to keep up with you. You see, these were dimensions. The Lord was showing him something in a vision and in a dream of dimension, of showing that Brother Pike might have been speaking as a man. Then he might have been speaking as a God. Then he may have been speaking in the natural dimension, in the water world. Then he might have been speaking in the blood dimension, in the blood world, and things relative therein. And then he might have been speaking in the spiritual realm. You see, going up and down through these different projections. Now, many times people have heard some of the revelations of the spirit world, and they bring them down into another dimension, and they apply them out of order. Do you realize that there's things I could speak about by the Spirit of God that if I apply it in the wrong dimension, that I could be blaspheming, or it could be blasphemous? You see, we got to be careful what we say. And then you got to be careful what you understand. I think of Brother Wayne back here again, brought an elderly lady to church, a really fine lady, a nice lady. Don't question her salvation at all. She was a fine sister, loved the Lord for many years. But an elderly woman would have troubles coming to some of the things I was teaching. And she told Brother Wayne, let him come to a church service, said, boy, that preacher's really going to have a rude awakening someday because he's going to find out that he's going to die just like all other men because I was teaching a doctrine, I can't die. And see, she was applying it over in the wrong realm. She was accurate in her mind and her thoughts. I find no fault with her. I don't look down on her or disrespect her because that, but see, she wasn't where I was speaking at. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't where he was speaking at when he said, no, Lazarus is asleep. The little girl that the Lord raised up from the dead in your understanding and thoughts said the same thing, just asleep. And they mocked the Lord and it grieved him so bad he ran him out of the room. He knew what he was saying, didn't he? He knew what he was saying. I want you to turn over to the book of Revelations to the 12th chapter, please. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Let me ask you, which heaven is he speaking about there? Do you ever think about it? You know, many times when we read these things, it is spoken just as I took you over into Genesis and I read there in Genesis and I was speaking. And like I say, most theologians and rabbis or teachers, whatever, they're going to be talking about the creation of this world. But I chose to speak about the creation of the earth and vessel. I could have went on into this a little bit deeper into it. Differentiating again the body, soul, spirit, and it went on talking about the next thing was talking about grass. Grass is as a flesh, and then starts talking about bringing forth the seed that was within the earth. Amen. And started bringing forth, goes into reproduction. There's a lot of things, beautiful things, if you get into the mind of the Lord in it. When I go over and read Matthew, the 24th chapter, most people are reading it, you know, about these things that are come. But you see, when I read my Bible, and when I read about God, I read about the God that was, and I read about the God that is. And I read about the God that is to come. Which one do you choose to speak about and talk about? I like the one that is. I appreciate the one that was. And I'm scared of the one that's coming. And you say, oh, come on, preacher. If you ain't, you will be. I'll tell you what, I've stood in his presence before and my knees lose its strength. Brother Pike said he went into a vision and he was before him. And he said he was froze. He couldn't even move. And he said that this spirit come on him. And he said he was so froze he couldn't move. And this thing bowed him down. It said it just picked him up and bowed him right over on his face. He said he watched the trees start laying over and watched the rocks come out of the socks and start laying over. So you could talk about who you are. I've had the Lord take me into places in spirit that my heart I thought was going to come out of my chest. I wish I said, oh, praise God, I'm spiritual, but it scared me. You say, I don't know about that. Well, you'll find out one day. Amen. The Bible says the great and terrible day of the Lord. Which one are you talking about, the God that is or the God that was or the one that is to come? Why do you gaze here and look at him as he was descending up off the Mount of Olives? He said, in like manner that you see him go, he'll return in like manner. Is that what you're looking for and waiting on? Did he come back in the day of Pentecost in that manner? You see, these are things that you need to understand. Again, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdoms of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death.
Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. I had a man come to me one time with a Spanish Bible. And he said, you know, and he was bilingual, he spoke English and Spanish both. He said, the Spanish Bible is more accurate, brother, than the King James. He said, in the King James Bible, it says heavens, plural. And in the Spanish Bible, it says heaven. And I said, no, brother, the King James is right. There's a reason it says heavens. There's a reason that there's one baptism expressed as baptisms with a plural, the same way as heavens with a plural, and the same way when we start differentiating the mind of God. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, that ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I have to find the mind of the Lord to see if he wants to speak about this as the God that was, or if he wants me to speak about this as the God that is, or if he wants me to speak about this as the God that is to come. You see, we were speaking the other day about rapture, and we know rapture isn't a biblical word. I could go into biblical terminology and say the translation. I could talk about the transfiguration. I could talk about winning the redemption of the body. I could talk about being caught up. And I could speak about these saints. And I could speak about one that was, one that is, and one that is to come. I could speak about a daily catching up. I could speak about a daily being mortified, a daily being killed out, a daily dying. I could talk about a daily resurrection. Now the thing is when we start talking about these things, I could speak about this man-child being caught up to the throne. I could talk about this thing being caught up and hid away at a place there and hid away where this dragon can't get to him, can't touch him, can't hurt him, harm him, nothing, caught up. But there was a place prepared for the woman, a wilderness. Now you see, well, where do I fit into this? How do I apply this to me? And how does this have anything to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Everything. This is speaking about you. Well, I think it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, are you bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? You see, when you read the New Testament, and you'll be over there reading, and you'll be reading about the Lord Jesus Christ walking among the earth and the things that is going on in his life, and you'll be reading about that. And I say, yay and amen, that's good, because you're talking about the God that was. But when I'm reading about it, I'm speaking about the God that is, because I'm talking about this is you and I. This is what we are doing today. You see, so you have to learn where to apply the word in the scriptures. You see, if you're just talking about a past tense God and the great things that he done, then you're missing the God that is. I had a man that was under the revelational teachings and doctrines, and he said, you know, I come to an understanding in a revelation. And he said, you know, there was never no Adam and Eve. That was just something to bring an understanding to us about this flesh right here, you know, shows the Eve. And then we talk about this inner spirit, you know, showing this Adam. And, we say the second man Adam. And this is what he had a revelation on. Well, he was right. But where he was wrong is he completely destroyed another dimension of the shadows. And the Lord allowed those things to bring us an understanding. The Bible said the invisible things, we will comprehend and understand those things by the things that appear. By these shadows and by these things we can comprehend. And many times we go over and we might talk about Joseph being cast into a dungeon. And we talk about the things that took place there. And we'll be bringing an understanding of a revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking over at the shadows to bring an understanding of something in the object realm. Are you with me? Was. Is. Is to come. Shadows, object, light, natural, physical, spiritual, body, soul, spirit. There's so many things. And we start looking at it. Where does the Lord want us to speak at? What dimension? What stairway are we going to run up? What plateau are we going to run across? Where do we lack the understanding of the mind of God and the mind of Christ? Am I adopted in? Am I a wild tree by nature, grafted in? The Bible says that. Have I been adopted into this place? Am I a son of God or am I the bride of Christ? If I'm the bride of Christ, I need to step down. The Bible said, let the woman be silent in the church. Do I have any business up here preaching to you as the bride of Christ? If the woman's to be silent, he suffer not the woman to sup authority over the man. So if you're looking at me as the bride of Christ, then the thing is I'm in error and I'm out of order here. So do I, as a man, born as a natural man that you say is a man, have more authority than the bride that does? Because of I'm born as a natural man, so I've got the authority to get up here behind the sacred desk because I'm a man? Now, if you're not careful here, you could start switching some dimensions around, as many of these women preachers do, and they say, well, you know, there's no male nor female in the Spirit. You know, that's why I preach the gospel, preacher, because there's no male nor female in the Spirit. Well, you know, the homosexual man could say the same thing. Hey, I'm in the Spirit, man. There's no male nor female, so I could, my name's Fred, and I could marry George. What's the difference? Help me out here a little bit. Is there any difference? I mean, if we're going to start swapping dimensions around, why can't they do it too? Do you understand what I'm saying? I had a man get upset with me. I brought this out one time. Good man. Friend of mine. Grandmother was a preacher. And I was bringing it out. I said, you know, there's things that show perversion. There's spiritual perversions. There's natural perversions. There's physical perversions. You realize that? And I brought those things out. And he was upset. Man got in my face. I mean, he was mad. He was so mad. He was shaking and slobber coming out on his lips. He said, you called my grandmother a pervert. I said, I did. I said, no, sir. Oh, I know you're going to work it out and you're going to justify it. I said, no, sir. I said, it shows the same perversion. You see, a woman marrying a woman. You see, that's how it can take you into the scriptures and show it to you over in Romans. You know, it's an abomination in God. When they leave their natural affections and turn one toward another, it's an abomination, the Bible says. It's a perversion. Now, there's an order in God. And when we start taking things out of one dimension and applying it, and when a woman says there's no male nor female in the Spirit, and she calls herself a preacher, and she starts preaching the gospel, there's this perversion there. And you say, well, I don't think that's as bad as a perversion of sodomy. Well, you can start differentiating however you want. When we get into the things of God, I want to keep things accurate and right and correct. Well, you don't think a woman could do any teaching? Well, you see, now you've gone off down some other realm. There's probably a sister down there teaching little children right now. And there's women there teaching women. And you think women don't have no place in the ministry? Well, let me tell you about this church right here in Christian Temple. If I remove the sisters from their ministerial helps, we would be lacking of a lot of things. Sisters are wonderful. They got a great, important place in the mind and the callings of God. And they're very, very important. Paul said, you know, greet my women workers. I mean, there is a wonderful place for sisters and women in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but there's an order in it, and there's a proper order. Amen? So what we're talking about here is differentiating and dimensions. So if we start looking at this, and we find that there was a place prepared for this woman, you say, well, how could I understand this, Brother Rom? Well, we can go over, and we could go over into speaking about object realm. We could talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that when he was going to be born, and Mary was carrying this child, amen? And then we find that this king had been wanting to put to death. Do you remember them seeking after to kill the firstborn and to be put these to death? So where did they flee to? There was a place in the wilderness, but where did they flee to? Does anybody remember where Mary and Joseph went? To Egypt. So now we're looking at this in one dimension, and we've seen that they went off over into Egypt, and they was there, and then they got the report down there that this king, you know, had died, and then he came back forth, and they brought him back up forth into Israel there, and he made a presentation. Amen. One time we get a report about 12 years old. Think of a bar mitzvah, he makes a presentation, and astounded the wise people even at a young age, amen. You know, we had a little 11-year-old today singing, standing with their hands lifted up to the Lord, just in the Spirit of the Lord ministering. You know, and sometimes some of the adults, man, I've been a Christian man for 28 years. And just get in the Spirit like that little child, just lift up your hands and just love the Lord and worship him and sing to the Lord, amen. Boy, there's victory in that, I tell you, amen, hallelujah. So we find it, we look over here and we see what took place with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we come over and we look at this in another perspective when we think about you and I. Now the thing is Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. So now here's a man travailing to bring forth Christ in another man. And I'm thinking, that's a little unusual. Yeah, it hurts. So then we find the bride. Well, Brother Rob, are you the bride of Christ? Are you the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Rom? He said he's coming for his bride. Well, he told the truth. He's come. when is this marriage? When is the marriage supper? You know, he said, I'm married unto you and healed your backslide. And that means there's already been a marriage taking place, right? Now, there's some teaching that this marriage is going to be this great catching up. And we're all going to go up to this big marriage ceremony and this big feast and all these different kind of things. And I'm not going to dispute that. You see, but what I'm saying is they're looking at something in another dimension when we're already married unto him. If we're not married unto him, then how did we bring forth a child? Did he bring forth a child in adultery? Did he bring forth a child in fornication? Did he bring forth a child outside of marriage? We know that there is a marriage covenant, amen? And we know that we must be married before we take in the dimension that you understand. I got no business taking a woman into the marriage bed unless I marry her. You understand that? So we get all that worked out. We say, man, this is what we got to do. But then, yeah, we look at this marriage as being some distant time. Well, there's going to be a marriage. You know, and this bride's going to get caught up over here, and we're going to have this great marriage feast. Amen. But then, yet, I stand before you and say, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Where'd the sons of God come from? So am I the bride of Christ or am I a son of God? Am I a man or am I a God? Am I the son of man? There's my father right there, and he could stand up and say, oh yeah, you know, hey, you know, I married this boy's mother. Back in 1958, this boy was born. I'm his father. He's my son. I'm a son of a man. And then I could stand here before you and say, hey, there's something in my spirit crying, Abba, Father, amen. There's something in my spirit in here, and I've been born of God, amen. So which one? Which one of those is relative to the kingdom of God? You see, through my natural father here, I'm relative to this world. I'm relative to a world of corruption. A telestial world. A corruptible world. A world of vanity. A world of vexation to the spirit. That's what I'm relative to. If I want to speak to you as a man, I could talk about the wretchedness. And at my very best, with all of my very best efforts, it says filthy rags is what I could speak about. So, Brother Rob, are you the bride of Christ? Or are you the son of God? Brother Rob, are you a wild tree by nature grafted into this kingdom of God? Have you been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God? Or have you been transformated, Brother Rob? Which one is it? Are you justified, Brother Rob? Or are you sanctified? Or are you glorified? Which one is it, Brother Rob? You see, these are dimensional projections that you need to understand. You say, well, I don't think it's necessary. All I need to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and know that He shed His blood for me and I'm saved, praise God. That's a good place for you to start, amen. I'm with you, amen. But the Bible said not laying again the foundation of repentance, amen. You know, and the thing is the reason I'm talking to you like this is for one reason. It's because there's people that are caught up into doctrines and foolishness. And they're reading of things and partaking of things and walking in things and think they know things and they don't know what they ought to know. And they've got themselves all fuddled up. What are you tonight? You say he's coming for his bride. Are you the bride of Christ? Is there an end to the bride? Look at your patterns and your allegories, shadows. Is there an end to the bride? Is the bride eternal? If the bride, is the bride the heir to the throne? If there's no male nor female in the spirit, then when we're in the spirit, are we then the bride? And if we say that I'm the bride of Christ and you look at me as a man, can I say, well, that's speaking spiritually when I say I'm the bride, when there's no male nor female in the spirit, or am I speaking in the second heaven? And then we saw a dragon right here over here in the book of Revelations, and we found that this dragon was in heaven. And you say, well, yeah, but it goes on, it took a third part of its tail around a third of them and was cast out and cast into the earth, but it climbed back up. And how far did it climb? And can it climb all the way back up into the third? It can, but it won't be there long. But if it comes in with that wedding garment, it's a different thing altogether. You understand that? Now, I could go back through this and we could start seeing the wedding garment down through the readings there in 12. We could start finding a covering there and we could start understanding some things. But now, when we start differentiating, there's one dimension with a covering and then there's another dimension that has no covering. We find a dimension of marriage and then we get into another dimension where the product of the marriage comes forth. And, you know, Brother Pike used to say things to us, and he would talk about a telescope going out into a 1, 2, 3 and closing back up. Use so many things to try to bring us into a differentiated mindset of understanding. And we use the male and the female, the husband and the wife. Paul said, I show you a mystery, the man and woman. When they marry, they become one. Do you think that he was important to show you about your relationship with your wife and becoming one? Yes, but he was going beyond that. He was speaking about the man and the woman thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ and we being the bride. And we being the bride saved in childbearing. And we're talking about being made without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, and pure and holy. Amen. And we find ourselves place prepared, and we went and caught in with the Lord Jesus Christ into a marriage relationship. And in this marriage relationship, there was a seed that went forth that keepeth us from sin. You understand? And if you do not have that seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin, then you are barren and you're not a product. I'm not sure if I like that word, using that word product. It just really doesn't feel like it fits exactly right, but I'm trying to use the words comprehend and understand some things in the realms of God. You know, I may have problems trying to express, but even if I was very eloquent in speech and I had all my grammars and all those things done, you still have a problem that these things have to be spiritually discerned, and pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that you could get your understanding opened and enlightened, that you could receive these things and understand them, because again, they're spiritually discerned. Can I be the bride and can I be the Son of God? Can I be a son of man and a son of God? Jesus said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both son of man, both son of God. Do you realize if you'll read in the scriptures that you'll find each of those individuals expressing themselves at different times? Do you realize that? If you are listening, then you could find out if it was the Son of Man or the Son of God speaking, and you could find them both speaking. Now, the Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's Christ speaking. Is it every time the preacher's behind the sacred desk that it's Christ speaking? I wished I could confess and say that's the way it is. Oh, so you're telling us that we need to discern when it's Christ speaking. And you better be very careful, because just as the brother said last night, he said there's many sick and afflicted among you because you failed to discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I say, is there an ending to the bride? You know, we go over to the allegories and we look in there and we find when Benjamin was born, maybe some of you understand what this has to do with. When we look over Rachel and Leah, we see two different dimensions there, representing two different dimensions. We do find that he desired Rachel, he ends up getting Leah, and then he ends up getting Rachel. Rachel dies and he goes back and gets Leah. This has to do with the Jews coming back in. He desired the spiritual one. And the thing is, he's got this desire, but when the bride brings forth this child, amen, the child is the heir, and then the woman died in bringing it forth. And you say, Brother Rob, are you teaching that the bride dies? Well, I'll just let you differentiate it out, and you pray about it and ask God to help you with it a little bit. But it's pretty simple to understand and to comprehend when the sons come forth, and it goes back to Leah. Amen. And you say, you know, I know that there's going to be a bride in heaven and this and that. And well, we just read about one there, you know, but which heaven was she in? Was she in the first, the second, or was she in the third? Well, I know that I've been the wild tree and I've been grafted in, you know, and I've been adopted. And I say, yay and amen, I have too. I adopted this body that you see that's relative to this world, and I've adopted it into the kingdom of God. Amen. Through the righteousness of Christ and through the transformation of this mind, I brought it upright into righteousness that other people could see the goodness of God in the earth. Amen. But this isn't what the Lord Jesus is really looking for. It's part of his plan, yes. And when this earth snaps back upright on its axis, and it comes back upright because it's tilted on its axis because of the fall of man, and it will come back upright, and there won't be one stone standing on top of another when it does. And then you'll see this millennial earth come in. And it's going to be upright, and the lion's going to lay down by the lamb. And there's soil that's down underneath these salt waters being preserved. It's going to bring forth the vegetation and bring forth such a beautiful life. It's going to be so fruitful. And this is going to be just a beautiful, man. The old serpent going to be bound for that 1,000 years. And it's going to be just such an awesome, beautiful. And say, man, that's heaven. This is what the Lord's been looking for. And I say, no, it's not what he's been looking for. Just like I'm upright. Amen. I'm walking in holiness and righteousness. And I love the Lord and he's pleased. Amen. But the thing is this really not what he was looking for? Amen. Amen. This is what he's looking for in this dimension, but it isn't what the plan is. There's going to be one day that this body, this thing that's telestial, this thing that's relative to corruption, is going to go through a transfiguration, a metamorphosis. It's going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And then the people of this world are going to see us. Amen. They're going to see us of what we always were, the sons of God. Amen. The world, the Bible said, is yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation generations of the sons of God. Do you think this world is yearning and longing? Do they look like they're yearning and longing when they're out there giving in marriage and frolicking? It's talking about this right here, this earth part. It's yearning. It's aging. It aches. It's got pains. It's got suffering and problems. It's yearning and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. But now we already are. Amen. So we start differentiating these things. Well, you know, we draft this one in. It's wild and adopt, but there's another one birthed. There's another one translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. So this earth, when it snaps back upright, you say, boy, that's it. That's what the Lord wants. And we see this great millennial for 1,000 years in the devil's mouth, but that's not what he was looking for. It's going to go through a metamorphosis, this earth. You understand that? It'll be no longer a terrestrial earth, but a celestial itself. It'll be like transparent gold. This earth will come in to that state. You understand? Now you can start to understand what's going to happen here with this. So we need to differentiate these things and understand what God is doing. Amen. And why he's doing it, when he's doing it, where he's doing it, who we are. We need to take our rightful place in his kingdom walking. The kingdom of God is now. You're not going to maybe see it with observation, but you need to realize that you're walking in the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit and you're speaking by the Spirit. Amen. And don't be discouraged when others can't hear because they don't have ears. Don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. But keep your course and just keep walking and speaking in the Spirit of God and talking about the things of the Spirit. Amen. Thinking on the things which are from above, the things that are pure, the things that are clean, the things that are godly, the things that are holy. You know, I have people, they quote to me all the time, say, well, to the pure, all things are pure. Well, to the pure, all things are pure because they are pure. But when you try to take unpure things and make them pure just by the transformation of thought, you're a wretched devil. You say, you shouldn't have said that. Things were going real good, Brother Rob, you know, and I was kind of enjoying this, you know. You didn't have to go there. Well, I would really like to preach, but I'm going to be nice and just try to stick down to some teaching. Amen. You know, there's so many truths. You know, I've got men that say, man, I've come to the revelation of Lord Jesus Christ. I'm born of God. I can't sin. Give me another whore. Now, let me give me another Budweiser. Let me smoke another joint. Let me get another little snort of this and that. They ain't nothing but the devil, and they'll always be the devil. You understand what I'm saying? And you say, oh, they might get born again. Yeah, they might, but they won't be desiring them things of the world. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. You know, and if you keep yielding yourself over to the members of this flesh and over to the things of this world, amen, you're just a product of the father of this world, the Satan himself, the father of all lies. Amen. So just find out who you are, who you yield into, who you submit to. Let's stand together. Amen. There's a part of me that would like to go on. There's a part of me that's saying we better stop. And I'm trying to listen to the Lord and differentiate his mind and his voice. Amen. I love you and I appreciate you. We've had a wonderful meeting. Do y'all agree with that? We've had a wonderful meeting. I've enjoyed myself. You enjoyed yourself?
Amen.
Have you really enjoyed yourself?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I truly enjoyed myself. I've enjoyed every message and word that's come forth. The Lord has really orchestrated and put some very wonderful and beautiful things together. Many things, again, that have been happening and been taking place. And I appreciate the word that Brother Michael spoke over my grandson, Brother Gabriel. He turned 18 years old today and there was a vision that went forth at Little Bethlehem. And my mother had it. But she had a vision when my daughter was carrying forth this child. And she said, I don't understand this thing, but I was made known in this vision that his name would be Gabriel George. And that's what he was named. Brother George got the vision, was explained to him. It was wrote down on paper and given unto him. And he said, this is of the Lord. Amen. The vision come from the Lord. But Brother Chuck Kistler was in this vision. And my mother didn't even know his name. And she had just come there, what hadn't been at Bethlehem, but just a short few days or something. She goes, I don't know the guy's name, but it was the man that's in the wheelchair. And he come rolling forth and he was blowing a trumpet saying that this man child will be presented. And she said, I don't know. She said, I know it was in Israel. She said, I think it was something like Golden Heights. And she said, but that doesn't exactly sound right, but it was something like Golden. And Brother George, he asked, that's right, because she was there explaining the vision to him. And he goes, could it have been Golan? And she said, yes, that's what it was. It was in Golan Heights. Well, when the child was born and was dedicated, Brother George took one of the meetings on Independence Day. Amen. And he took a camp meeting. It's available still on video and different things. But he took this child and he held this child in his arms for probably, what would you say, Brother Pete, 20 minutes? Maybe 30 minutes. And held this little baby in his arms while he's bringing forth the revelation of what he had to do with. And he happens to have been caught up over here into North Carolina. And he happens to turn 18 years old this very day. 18-year-old, and you say, what does that have to do with? Well, it has to do with the maturity of a woman. Amen. So when you think, well, what would that have to do with when the vision said that it would be presented at 21 years of age? Amen. At 21 years of age. And if you would say, well, that's 3 more years. Now, if you start thinking and you read the times and the half of times and some of the things we're talking about in a place prepared, what is going to take place in the middle of the week? Amen. And what takes place at the first part of the week? Could you be the people that maybe this guy wasn't real far off in his little prediction? Amen. And maybe he might have been a little bit accurate when he said there was something that took place in the spirit. Now listen to me. Don't think that I've never heard this man. I've not read one of his articles. Only thing I've heard is what some of y'all said. I ain't got no time to listen to it. But you know, I'm just telling you, maybe the Lord is trying to be merciful to you to get you to be thinking a little bit. Because why, some of you are in marriage and giving in marriage and you're frolicking and you're going here and you're going there, there's some marvelous things that are taking place right before you, and there could be some very wonderful things happening. Amen. And we need to be watching and sensitive and praying and walking in the Spirit of God and praying and trusting the Lord. Amen. You know, we need to know who we are. Let's not be tossed to and fro. There's many of us that are walking far below our privileges. There's many of us that are walking in a wilderness in our mind. We're not subjecting. We're not submitting. You know, we got some young ministers that don't feel like they need to subject themselves to a preacher. Praise God. You know, I don't have no man need to tell me anything. I get it by the Spirit. Well, you're of the devil. Oh, don't you tell me that. You're just trying to make yourself a place. No, I'm just telling you. You're listening to a man of God. You ain't nothing but of the devil. Amen. Every man finds himself. The Bible says submit one to another. Amen. And there's no place. If you cannot submit to a man that you can't see, you'll never submit to that God that you cannot see and get nothing from him. Amen. If you are a man of God or a minister, God is going to take you down and he's going to put you underneath a minister and you're going to subject yourself and you're going to find yourself in submission and subjection. Amen. You say, I don't receive that. I know that's why you'll never go nowhere with God. But that's okay. We still love you while you're in your wilderness, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, puffed up in your fleshly mind. But that's all right. I still love you. I'm still not preaching. I'm just encouraging you. Amen. Y'all love the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. I think he's still meeting needs, Sister Vivian. Amen. Still touching hearts. Still answering prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you feel the presence of the living God? Amen. It's so beautiful, isn't it? I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the one shaking and moving. Amen. Down and within. Amen. The one that has all the power. Amen. And all the authority. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you ain't supposed to be doing what you do, amen, but I say I can do all things in Christ, amen. You know, the doctor said I'd never preach again when they had to move my voice box over out of the way and put an old screw in my neck, but I think I could do some preaching, amen. If you're not sure, I'll show you, amen. Hallelujah. I could raise up my voice like a trumpet, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not hard to believe in his works. It's not hard to believe in what he's done for us. Amen. He's finished it. When he hung his head on Calvary, he said, it's finished. What was finished? What was it? The last enemy was conquered. Amen. And death was abolished. You say, oh, I don't know if that was happened then. I think that happened in the resurrection. Well, I remember a few days before they crucified him, he told them, he said, I am the resurrection. Of all the earth, you unbelievers had to see it. And he tried to explain it to them. He was the resurrection all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Brother Randy, can you see your sister as a son of God standing before the throne of the living God? You need to see that. Can you see her with her hands lifted up towards heaven? Saying, I love you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord. You're my God. You're my King. You're my salvation. Hallelujah. I can see it, amen. Because it comes by faith and it comes by believing, amen. Hallelujah. You simply believe, amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.